An emerging soybean disease, and grains and oil seeds were higher in advance of the June supply and demand update. I'm Greg Allen. This is Michigan Ag Today. An emerging soybean disease in the Midwest is requiring growers to be more vigilant when scouting. Eric Pfeiffer has the details.
Red crown rot has not yet been confirmed in Michigan, but Michigan State plant pathologist Marty Chilver says it's probably already here and growers just don't know it. More on why in a moment. Unfortunately, there's nothing that can be done about red crown rot for your soybeans this year if it is in your field. A seed treatment would have been the deterrent, but it's still important to scout and know if it's in your field. Dr. Darcy Talinko, a plant pathologist at Purdue University, says that's easier said than done.
The problem is it mimics three other diseases. It has the same foliar symptomology as our sudden death syndrome, SDS. It could also mimic brown stem rot. So it's important, you know, when that time frame comes, so end of July or early August, and you start seeing those little areas that are turning yellow, yep. The crop is not maturing there. There's something going on, and get out and look at it. Maybe you diagnosed SDS 10 years ago and it came back to the end, but go out, and that's my big push. Go out and check to make sure it still is and hasn't changed to something else.
If you suspect red crown rot, a sample can be sent to Michigan State for confirmation. Information on how to submit your sample can be found by finding this story at MichiganAgToday.com. Once red crown rot is confirmed, Talinko says you'll want to harvest that field last to reduce the spread of the fungus to a new field.
We do have some research going on to try to see what the combines are moving. Mm-hmm. And so where is the pathogen surviving? Is it in the soil? Is it in the stubble? Is it in the debris? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we blowing it out of the back of the combine in the dust? And so we've been running some pretty interesting trials this last year. I followed some fields. So we'll be looking for that again.
Talinko recommends growers utilize resources from the Crop Protection Network. You can find those at cropprotectionnetwork.org. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Looking for heavy equipment but don't know where to buy? Purple Wave Auction has you covered. Always online and always no reserve. It's your destination for construction or ag equipment ready to work. We even sell semis, trailers, and fleet equipment for your operation. Best part? It's free to join. Head to purplewave.com. That's purplewave.com. Sign up for a free account and start bidding today. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Another significant round of thunderstorm action expected to develop this afternoon and evening. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with a look at the Michigan Farm Forecast. A large area of quietness through the first part of the day here, but we see a significant area of thunderstorm action coming together in Iowa. Strong to severe storms midday and afternoon there, ripping up into Wisconsin and then taking aim at the Great Lakes. I do think there is a chance for a significant severe weather outbreak across the Great Lakes and Eastern Corn Belt here this afternoon and evening. If it's not severe, everybody still gets rain. I think we need to pencil in anywhere from half to 2 inches of rain out of this wave alone. Heat-based action is going to be strengthening as well. Convection can be very, very strong. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, once it gets through, I think we're done for a bit. We actually clear out tomorrow morning. We are partly sunny and pleasant then for tomorrow, for Saturday. Sunday is going to be interesting. Sunday features a little bit of moisture trying to sag through from northwest to southeast. I think we have to leave the door open to a quarter to maybe 1 inch of rain there. But then we go back to a dry-ish weather as we move into the Monday time frame. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, turning out partly sunny. And we see scattered showers for Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, and then into a weekend that likely continues the hit-and-miss scattered shower action from north to south. So that end of the week period, the 20th, 21st, and into the 22nd, though, we've seen data flip-flop back and forth from being largely dry to now being wet again. I think we need to get closer to the whole system's arrival and what track it wants to get to before we put any large confidence on something way out there. Nearby, fairly confident here that we are looking at a cool weekend, a wet finish to the weekend, and then a dry period to start next week. I'm Ryan Martin.
We'll get you those final sediment numbers here in just a bit, but first, let's unpack what was actually driving today's market action. Here's Andy Eubank along with Tom Fritz with EFG Group in Chicago for a closer look.
Finally, Tom, after quite a number of losing sessions in a row, we see a turnaround in the soybean futures market. It goes higher. That market seemed to get help from higher soy meal and oil. Crude oil was sharply higher. Did that also provide an assist?
Oh, I think maybe initially it might have been, but the price action in the crude oil is almost muted versus what we saw, say, a month and a half ago. The two countries are still, the U.S. and Iran are still going at it, but we're not seeing the violent reactions that we saw, back in, early March or so. So I get the impression that, ships are moving through the straits. These guys are just throwing shelling at one another. So I really don't think it had that much impact. I sat here all day trying to figure out what's going on with the soybean market. Yeah, meal was a little bit better, couldn't hold it. Bean oil, yeah, it's up snappy 35, 40 points, which is not a big deal. So, why are beans doing what they're doing? So after I finally get a look at the midday Gulf basis, bids are noticeably higher. So this is me. This is my opinion, but I'm smelling some soybean business out there. And so, with that, are the Chinese finally starting to move? Well, that remains to be seen.
And that was Tom Fritz with EFG Group in Chicago. Turning first to the grain complex, July corn was seeing a bit of pressure down a half cent to set right at 419 even. Meanwhile, the new crop September corn contract was finding some minor support, up a quarter cent, trading at 427 and three quarters. Over in the soy complex, we had a green screen. July soybeans were posting solid gains, up 9 1/4 cents to trade at 1123. August beans followed suit, up an even 9 cents, putting that contract at 11.27 and 3 quarters. July wheat was tracking slightly higher as well, gaining 2 and a quarter cents to settle in at 5.87 and a half. Switching over to the livestock pits, it was a strong day for the cattlemen. August live cattle pushed higher, up a buck 80, trading at 241.50. And finally, July lean hogs picked up some modest gains, up 70 cents to trade at 96.85. I'm Greg Allen, Michigan Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.